Although Kate says Gavin's doing it all.
I'm not saying that loud. Right. I gotta sort this out. I can't be dealing with this today. Right. So I listened back to myself the other day on the internet, and I realized what I sounded like. And I thought, Kate, that mic must be broken. She said, no, that's what you sound like. So I said, you sure? She, yeah. I go, oh, crikey. Right. I always wanted one of those Welsh voices, those really posh ones, like Eddie Butler on the rugby, when he does a little talk, and you're like, yes, I want that voice. So I was practicing with Ray, wasn't I?
Yeah.
And Kate's like, don't do it. But I will do it. Because I think it's very important that when we speak like this, it's just beautiful. It's a beautiful sounding accent, and it comes across with passion and fire. Anyway, I'm not going to do it like that all the time, because it would take us 25 minutes just to get through the first bit. So, we've been talking about sort of people of the Bible, okay, the real-life people, and we've done some biggies. Okay, we've done Paul, we've done Peter. Okay, I missed last week. I shouldn't have listened to it, but I've forgotten too. Okay, but we've done some biggies. But we're doing something a little, someone a little bit smaller. Okay, we're doing what I call the people of the fine print. They're a couple that don't turn up very often, but have got massive significance in what they did. Okay, so I'm going to introduce you to a guy called Jimmy Ovine. Has anyone heard of Jimmy Ovine? Please keep your hands down if you have, because it'll ruin my sermon. Good. Awesome. So Jimmy Ovine, okay, started working in music. He's a music producer in the 70s, and he worked with John Lennon, so the oldies, eh? And Bruce Springsteen. He worked with Meatloaf on Bat Out of Hell, that album. Now, I've heard of that album, so we can't be that old. Okay. In the 80s, this is Rog, he worked with YouTube on Rattlin' Hump. He was a producer for that, and with Rod Stewart. I know who that guy is, too. And then we came up to where I'm looking. In the 90s, he founded Interscope Records, and he signed Tupac Shakur. Tupac Shakur, one of the very best rappers there's ever been. He signed him. He went on to sign, this is where I lose a lot of the oldies, and I gain some of the youngsters over there. Okay, he signed Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, 50 Cent, Eminem, Lady Gaga. Okay, and he was part of all these businesses. All these guys, I put these guys main stage. In 2008, he went on, he came up with the idea of Beats headphones with Dr. Dre. He was one of the main drivers behind Beats headphones. If you guys have seen those or heard them, he was the main guy. And then him and Dr. Dre went and sold those to Apple, 2014, for £3 billion. This guy is the ultimate guy behind the guy, isn't he? You know, he's there in everything, threaded his way through everything, but you've never heard of him. And in fact, you probably wouldn't recognize him. You'd walk past him in the street and you wouldn't have a clue who he is. Yet, for me, he has had such an impact on my musical life. From rock and roll to rap, I used to play basketball, which is why I like rap music, because it's American. There's a story behind there. Okay? But he said, even the way I listen to it on speaker, the speakers I listen to, he has been through every facet of that, yet I have no idea who he is. Okay? And that's kind of where we want to come from, this angle of this. We're talking about Priscilla and Aquila, or Aquila and Priscilla, whichever you want to put it. There's a story there too. Okay? So about 3 years ago, 4 years ago maybe, me and Kate were... We were kind of in church, and we were coming to church every Sunday, and we were doing church. And we wanted more. And we didn't really know what to do. So one day I was listening to this podcast on the way to work, and I talked to these guys called Priscilla and Aquila, a married couple who are on mission together, a marriage on mission. And I remember it. To this day, driving down past Forest Vale, it spoke to my heart, to my soul. It broke through everything. And I realized at that point that I want to be a marriage on mission. And I remember phoning Kate to the lights. I'm crying. This is weird. And I phoned Kate. What's that? No, shh. And I was like, Kate, this is us. You've got to listen to this. This is us. And do you know what? Just learning a little bit about them, about their mission, about what their heart was, it just inspired us to kind of just sort of, it took that little spark and it turned into a flame. We fanned into a flame and we just got alive with Christ. And we wanted to do more. And that's kind of where our story came from. That's where our little missional community came from, if I can call it that. I don't know, but whatever. But we came, and that's where that came from. And we've just kind of just wanted to be out there on mission wherever we are in life every day. When we go to work, when we go to school. That's the same thing for us, wherever we are. Okay, so that's where this all came from. And Claire asked I talked to Claire about it, and she said, can you speak about it? And I don't know if you can tell, but I'm a little bit passionate about this subject. I've also got far less notes than last time, so I may go off piece, but bear with me. Priscilla and Aquila turn up, first of all, in Acts. Okay, Acts 18. And it reads like this. So after this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife, Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all of the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade the Jews and the Greeks. That's the first part we come across in. Okay? So there's a story there. Paul's left Athens. In Rome at the time, Claudius had enough of the Jews because he felt they were stirring up trouble. History tells a slightly different picture, but he kicked them all out. Out they go, okay? And it's chronicled in all the history books, okay? It actually happened, and they went over to Corinth, and they got there, and they started to live together, okay? That's the first bit, and this is my first point, okay? And I'm going to quote Winston Churchill for a moment. If a point's worth making, I'm going to hammer it home. I'm going to come back, and I'm going to hammer it again. I'm going to come back, and I'm going to hammer it again. So that's what's going to happen to me three times, okay? Be ready for whatever God's got for you. Be game for it. Yeah? We don't know what it is. You don't know what it's going to be. You don't know what it's going to look like. But be ready for it, because it's going to come. And when it comes, do it. Don't go, oh, no. All the time's not right. Or I'll do that now. When the kids get to about 9 and 10, that'll be fine. Then I can do it. When the money's right, I can do it. It's never going to be right. It's never going to be perfect. Okay? But in God's time, it is perfect. And when he tells you to do it, do it. Absolutely do it. It's about being prepared, being ready to do things. Ephesians 2:10. This is Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. It's easy for you to say. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works that no man can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Jesus Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. People, he has got good works for us to do. And when he gives them to us, we got to do them. Yeah, that's what that's all about. We got to be prepared. We got to be game. When we game, he's going to bless us in that. Step up. He writes to the church in Corinth. He says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, do everything in love. Be game, be ready for it. We don't know when it's going to come. I'm still hammering home. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became the heir to the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to the place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Examples of just men who heard that call, heard that sort of the word of God and just went for it. They were game. I mean, Noah built an ark. It'd be useful, I guess, down Pontypridd at the moment. But in the time when he was there, there was no rain. There wasn't anything. This was ridiculous. It was a crazy idea. Yeah, he was game. And when it came along, he stepped up to the mark, he did it, and God blessed that. Abraham, exactly the same. Exactly the same. Guys, be like that, okay? Priscilla and Aquila, they were ready for it. Okay? It will come, and you may not be ready for it. But step up in faith, and God will provide everything you need. That's what he does. That's what he does. Our second point, which is almost KSQ to come up, is the importance of hospitality. These guys showed hospitality. Okay. So in Acts 18, it goes on a little bit further, and he says, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city. So Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. Paul was there for nearly 2 years, working with Priscilla and Aquila, while he was out preaching, spreading the gospel, spreading the good news of Jesus Christ, and all that meant. Okay. They were working, they were providing for him. They were helping. Okay. Be that. Even if it does take 2 years. Okay. That's they were there. That hospitality is so important. And Kate's going to share a little bit more about that. But I'm just going to share a few more verses on hospitality. I love this one. Hebrews 13 says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without even knowing it. We talked about angels earlier. Okay. Just be hospitable. And then this is an amazing verse, Matthew. So Jesus is talking about the parable of the sheep and the goats. And he's talking about how you should act, how you should be like. And he's talking in parables. He says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you? The Lord will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And let that sink in for a little bit. Truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And who are his brothers and sisters? It's everyone. That is everyone. It goes on and it says the opposite then, those who didn't do those things. And they didn't do those things. So, Kate is going to do a little bit now. Kate does the useful bit.
Okay. So Gav asked me if I would speak on hospitality and what that means and what that means for us as a couple and how we've developed our gift of hospitality that we believe has come completely from God. So starting off, let's have a look at the word hospitable and hospitality. It comes from the Latin hospus, which means host, guest or stranger. And I looked and there were a couple of definitions of the word hospitality. And my favourite one was this from the Macmillan Dictionary. It says, friendly and generous behaviour towards visitors and guests intended to make them feel welcome. But if I'm honest, I really don't think from a Christian perspective that was enough. It didn't do it justice. So I started to think, well, what does the opposite of hospitable mean? And being a biologist, I was thinking, okay, inhospitable. I was thinking of inhospitable ground, an inhospitable environment. I've even heard, it's a horrible phrase, but a womb being inhospitable. And what that means is that it's not hospitable for life. Things can't grow there. Things can't thrive there, and it's unfavourable to life and growth. And I felt that that was a better definition of hospitality, because when we're looking at hospitality with Priscilla and Aquila, they provided Paul and later Apollos with hospitality in order that they could grow and thrive in their ministries. Yes, they provided them with the physical needs they needed, food and water and shelter, but it was more than that. They supported them in those physical needs so that they could grow in their ministries. And I just felt looking at the reverse of it just, you know, gave us a better definition. So I want to talk about what hospitality looks like. What stops us from being hospitable? Because I think most of us out here would go, yeah, I'm hospitable. And I was one of those people. But I think let's look at what hospitality isn't, because I was massively corrected in this, because I had an idea in my head of what being hospitable was. And I thought, yeah, I can do it, but I'm not keen on it. So I'm going to go through what hospitality is not. Okay. And my first point, and I got 3 points as well. Hospitality is not entertainment. And I'm going to say that again. It's not entertainment. This I really struggled with. I'm going to just quote. There's a book by a lady called Rosaria Butterfield. The book is called The Gospel Comes with a House Key. And the chapter that this is from is called Practicing Radically Ordinary Hospitality in Our Post-Christian World. I just stress, radically ordinary. Okay, hospitality is ordinary. It's not, you know, it's nothing special. This is the quote. She says, entertaining is about impressing people and keeping them at arm's length. Hospitality is about opening up your heart and your home just as you are. And that's really important as well. Just as you are. And being willing to let Jesus into the conversation, not to stop the conversation, but to deepen it. So I think when I was thinking about what this means, entertainment, I was thinking along the lines of actually, in our day and age, inviting your neighbours over for a dinner party, formally inviting them over is quite daunting, especially if they know you're a Christian, because they will inevitably think there's an ulterior motive. I've witnessed this myself. Oh, well, what's going on? If you make it formal, we're going to have three courses, we're going to do this. It's very difficult to break down those barriers with people. So I think my first point would be that you need to think informal when you're thinking hospitality. Think relaxed, think real. We're having a few drinks later on in the week, or we're watching the rugby later, or a couple of us are getting together just to have a coffee. Okay, about six-ish, yeah, just drop round. Yeah, make it informal. Make sure you've got other people there. So if you're asking a stranger, if you're asking somebody you don't really know, that there's other people there. People do drop out. It's not something we naturally do these days. They find it weird. But even if you only have one or two people come, word will get out. And people may come again. So that's my first point. It's not entertainment. It's not formal. It's very relaxed, very real. My second point, and I still struggle with this, is it's not about being perfect. It's not about having the perfect house. It's not about being able to cook the perfect meal or having the nice cutlery and the doilies. Sorry, Anna likes the doilies. The doilies and your milk jugs and all your things. No, you do because you're posh. You like the... But it's not about getting all of those things out. It's about being, just being real. And I think for a long, long time, those of you who know me, I made excuses about being hospitable. Our house isn't big enough. I haven't got enough chairs, plates, cutlery. I don't really know how to cook. Just coming back to Priscilla and Aquila, when they were asked to leave, they were basically refugees. Yet they invited Paul in. They had nothing. So it's not about being perfect. There's a really, really nice quote. Gav and I, in the summer, we had a photo shoot, don't laugh. We had a family photo shoot for Care for the Family for their project, which was called Kitchen Table, which was all about being very ordinary and about the importance of your kitchen table. And there's a quote here from Simon Holt, who's a church leader and chef. This is what it says in the thing. It's good to be reminded that the table is a very ordinary, there's that word again, ordinary place, a place so routine and everyday that it's easily overlooked as a place for God's spirit to move. Setting a table, cooking a meal, washing the dishes is the ministry of facilitation, providing a context in which people feel loved and welcome and where God's spirit can be at work in their lives. Hospitality is a very ordinary business, but in its ordinariness is its real worth. Whatever it looks like, your own table is a sacred place. Actually, getting people involved is not, and that's my third point in a moment, it's not all about you. Getting people involved in very ordinary things actually gets people to open up. It gets them to take their barriers down. And it allows those conversations that we talked about in that first quote to happen very, very naturally. And hospitality is not just about what you're doing. It's about the position of your heart. I think I've got here. It's rather than the act of service. You can be hospitable at home, but you can also be hospitable at work, on the train, at the doctor's surgery, in a cafe. It doesn't have to be in your home. You can carry that heart of hospitality wherever you go. And then my last point, I think I've just mentioned it, is it's not about just you. It's about getting people involved. I think when we have people in the house, our girls, the girls from the community are coming over on Friday. And one of the things I'll not make them do, but I'll say, oh, you know where the glasses are. Yeah, the wine's in the fridge. You know where it is. Go and help yourself when you're ready. It's those normal acts, making people feel comfortable, giving them a job to do, actually helps them to open up and relax. And I just like this phrase. I don't know if it's my own or whether I've stolen it. I've got hospitality is about receiving to give rather than giving to receive. We're not being hospitable to get something back from these people. We're receiving from God to give. And completely, I can utterly say this, that I feel that we've been given a gift of hospitality. Because those of you who know me, I look at Carol, we would never have opened up our home 3-4 years ago. We were lucky if we invited one or two of you over. We wouldn't have opened our home to people within the church, let alone people outside of the church. This is a complete gift from God. And in receiving that gift, we've been able to give. And I think that's really, really important. God gave us a real heart, Gav's already said, for our community, but he also gave us and equipped us with our heart of hospitality, because there's absolutely no way we could have reached the people in our community if we didn't have a heart for hospitality. Some people think it's really strange still that we welcome strangers into our home, that people come in and people who we didn't know 3 years ago are now considered friends, I would say. So how do we do this? Three things, very quickly. Number one, ask God to give you the heart for hospitality. You might not have it. Ask him, he will give it you. And then when you've got it, ask him for more, because it's amazing what he will do. He's completely changed me, completely changed my view about what hospitality is. And that's only through a gift from God. I can say it because Courtney's not here. You know, we currently have an American intern living with us. Having another adult living in the home is challenging. But by grace, I tell you what, God, he's just, every little thing that should niggle me just flies away. And that's because he's given me this heart for hospitality. The second point is, if you want to do this, go and see somebody doing it. Go and find somebody who's modeling this in their homes. Go and see somebody who's modeling hospitality and go and watch what they do. That's the best way of learning. We know as teachers the best way for children to learn is to see somebody doing it and copy. Go and copy. Go and steal ideas from other people. But how do you do it? How do you do it? You've only got a small house. How are you managing to do that? Go and find people who are doing it and watch what they do and learn from them. And thirdly, coming back to Gav's point, just go for it. You will be amazed. You say to a couple of your neighbours, oh, I'm going to have coffee on Saturday morning. Come round. You will be amazed. People want it. There's a world out there who have lost that ability to be hospitable, to open their doors to people. And we need to model that to them. We need to demonstrate to them. Come into our homes. Come and see what it's like. Just be normal. Just be real with them. But go for it. You will be so, so blessed, as I feel we've been. Thank you.
She sounds really nice. Then there's me. so our home table is so important to us. I remember we were so proud when we went to IKEA to buy our table. And our table was massive. And it was so big, we couldn't fit it in the car. So we had to go back and get a van to kind of come and get it. But one of the things that we always do, and I love this, and this is something we've stolen off somebody else, is if you look around, we get them to sign the bottom of our little table. So you haven't done it yet. Probably too high. Come over here. So, we get a stool for you. And it's just really nice. Every now and again, you kind of like, you just sort of like switch under and you see all these things. It's, it's really cool. So, jumping back to Priscilla and Aquila. So, number one, be game. Be up for it. If it comes, be ready for it. We had a conversation, didn't we, a couple of years ago. Right. Let's get our finances in order. So if he tells us to go somewhere, let's go. We're not there yet, but we're getting there. We're getting there to the point where if he says to Gav, go up A470, we want you to be here, so we can say, let's go. And hopefully one day we will be there. So we'll see. And then the hospitality thing is so straightforward. It's so easy. And you will be amazed when you step out how easy it is. Okay, my wife... for years, when we first started doing it, the house had to be spotless. Okay? And she used to get so, so, so stressed out about it. But now, it's just become, her heart has changed, and we are who we are. We come into our home, this is what we are. So you see us, dust and all, mess and all. So, there's my 2 points. Last one, I'm going to come into landing then. I like saying that. This is a tough one, actually. Okay, I chose the title, Encourage and Correct One Another. And my wife said, no, you can't say that's too strong. So I've taken that out, and I've said, encourage, and drum roll please, admonish one another. Sort it out, James, come on. And so this is where Apollos turns up in the story of Priscilla and Aquila. And this is in Acts 24, 28. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of scriptures. He had been instructed in the ways of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He He began to speak boldly in the synagogues. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him into their home and explained to him the ways of God more adequately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, say quickly, no one will know, the brothers and sisters encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. When he arrived, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted his Jewish opponents in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah. It's a big one, so I'm going to break it down a little bit for you all. Okay, so Apollos turns up. Okay, and he's very learned, he knows all the stuff, knows the scriptures, knows it all. But it says here, he talked accurately about Jesus. So you have the right idea. Though he knew only the baptism of John. Okay. When I read that, I was like, oh, that's a strange thing to say, isn't it? And it kind of commented, it kind of divided upon where he was with this. But sort of the general consensus, I guess, from what I could see, was Apollos had known about the coming of the Messiah. He had known about Jesus. Okay, but it perhaps suggests that he didn't get the full picture. Okay, the fact that Jesus had come, he had died, and after 3 days later, he had risen again. Yeah, and that's really important, isn't it? Because that's where he sends the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that's what makes all the difference. Okay. So, Priscilla and Aquila. Now, it's changed, isn't it? Priscilla and Aquila. Okay, it's gone from Aquila and Priscilla, which is man first, to woman first. Now, we've got a sign in our house that says, Kate, Gavin, Barnaby, Jemima. I hate it, because it should be me first, because obviously the man goes first, right? And I see, you know, it drives me spit, and Kate never noticed it. But, sorry. No, I didn't go off piste. It was just when they, didn't I? But in here, it's very deliberately written the other way around, isn't it? Priscilla and Aquila. It's the female first. Suggesting that Priscilla had a far more kind of important role in the church and in the spiritual guidance, the spiritual leadership of that family. Okay, and that's an important concept, isn't it? That the female, they had the guiding role. So they invite them into their home and explain to him the way of God more adequately. They invite them in, they were hospitable. Hospitable. They invite him, and then this is the bit that must be hard. They explain to him the ways more accurately. None of us like getting told we're wrong. None of us like getting told we got things wrong. I, for one, am like that. Okay? I don't like it. But it's important that we do. It's important that we do to each other. We encourage one another. But if we're getting something wrong, if we've got something wrong, we need to kind of correct. Say, look, hang on. I think you've got that wrong there. Okay? And then on the flip side, that we've got to be able to take that on and say, okay, show me the right way. What am I doing wrong? Prove it the right way. And then we can be better prepared, better in the future. Okay? And this stuff is all scriptural. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed. And this is one from Carol, because Carol always brings this one up. And useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's got a good work prepared for us in advance. I said earlier, we get the scripture stuff right, we're prepared for it, we're good to go. Okay? But, you know, take it on board. It doesn't matter if you get it wrong. Okay? In 1 Thessalonians, okay, he says this, I like this verse. It's quite a long one, so bear with me. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that day should not surprise you like a thief. He's talking about the coming, the end. Put that down, sorry. He says, you are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. How good is that? I lost my point. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Encourage, build one another up. Okay. So important. In Ephesians 4:29, and again, just such good stuff. That, however, is not the way of life you learned. When you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, but to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Okay? That's where we're meant to be, building each other up, okay? Encouraging. Okay? And that may sometimes look like you've got that wrong. You're wrong there. Okay? That's okay. Take it on board. Jeremiah 29, he says, and this is what the Lord says, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That's what God wants from us. Yeah? He wants to encourage us. Yeah? He wants those good things to build us up. I think if any of us hear those words that are condemning, putting us down, breaking us down, okay, that's the devil. When you hear those thoughts which are good and uplifting and build you up, that's God. Because that's what he wants for you. Yeah, the thing now all over the internet is this be kind. My wife just did the be kind. No. I got another two pages. This be kind thing. And I just think, do you know, it's not about being kind to another, is it? It's not about that. It's about being real and encouraging. Not just being kind, not just saying nice things. Oh, your hair looks lovely. Oh, you look great in that dress. We can all say that. But it's not about saying, it's about doing it, isn't it? Yeah, being game step, and I've gone off piece, never mind. But I think it's so important in this world, isn't it, that we don't get involved in that. It's not just be kind. It's actually be real, be encouraging, be uplifting, build one another up. Admonish them if you have to. If they're doing something wrong, tell them. Yeah, look, that's not a great life choice for you. It didn't end well last time, did it? Maybe you should try this. Don't be afraid of that. I think that's really important for this day and age. It's not on my notes, but hey, you've had it anyway for free. I'm almost done. So there, Hebrews 10. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting one another, as some have in habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I have picked out little verses, right? And I could not put the rest in. Because that is so beautiful. It's so beautiful. Okay. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised us, promised is faithful. He is faithful. And he is good. So there's my 3 points tonight. Okay? Be game, be ready for it. When it comes, go for it. Don't shy away from it. Second point, be hospitable. I can't say it. Be hospitable. It's easier than you think. It's so much easier. And that last one. Don't encourage one another, but also don't be afraid. Yeah? To admonish people. Admonish. Don't abolish people. Just to clarify. Do not abolish people. But admonish. So, I'm going to wrap up now. Okay, so I've written my conclusion down. So we talked about the front start. Okay? You don't have to be the star of the front. It's not what it's about. Okay, you can be the people behind the people. Yeah, you have no idea the implications of even your smallest act of love, generosity, encouragement, or hospitality. You have no idea where those waves will echo out into the eternity. There's so much power when you go on mission together. I remember that day when we sat there and we decided this is what we were going to do and we were going to have a mission together. Okay? And our mission field was our little community. Okay? So whoever you're with, whether you're married, whether you're with a partner, whether you're with just a friend, have a hope, have a mission together, stand together. Because when you work together, you're so much more powerful than when you work individually. This is what happened with Priscilla and Aquila. They were game for whatever God put in front of them. Be it having Paul with them for nearly 2 years, moving in with Paul to start a church in Ephesus, or putting their necks on the line for them. They were hospitable to all, and they helped people with their understanding of the gospel. I think that's a beautiful prayer for us. We should all be the same. Thank you.
Great, thanks, Gavin, Kate. That was inspiring. I've seen some real changes in Gavin, Kate since I've known them, and for those that don't know, get alongside them, encourage them in what they're doing, because they are really making some breakthroughs in their community, and it's really exciting. Let's praise God.
praise God, and God with us, and we're all. We had a few different songs to end with, but one that's really just sitting on my heart at the minute is You Unravel Me. And it's very much knowing, as Gav said about, and Kate about, Priscilla and Aquila knew their position in God. And God loves us so much that he did split the sea. So let's start with that, and then we'll see where we go. Sorry, Claire.
You unravel me with a melody. Walk right through it. God, tears are drowning.
Lord, I just thank you that it's all about you. Lord, it's about what you've done. And Lord, I just ask, Lord, that we would dare to pray to see the world through your eyes, Lord. You were the Word at the beginning.
praise you, God. Lord, yours is the name above all names. Lord, we just lift you high. Lord, I pray that you'd be with each of us this week as we the various things we do. Lord, I pray that you would be at the center of everything we do. Lord, I pray that the word that's been brought today, Lord, would speak to people. That people, Lord, would welcome, would ask for, Lord, that gift of hospitality, Lord, if it's right for them. Lord, I pray that we would glorify you in everything we do this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget to read Jonah, and I shall put this basket over there for anybody that wants to give to the flood relief. Thanks very much. Hang around for tea and coffee, please.
Yours is the kingdom forever you reign. Yours is the power that lifted us out of the grave.
Hands up!
Yours is the heart that